Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs. He's the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Signature Bank Score Hotline. Signature Bank, making commercial banking personal. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're the man, and very curious to get your take on what we saw yesterday at Halas Hall. And there was a lot of kind of, you know, in-between news, maybe a little something here, a little something there. We talked a little bit this morning about the idea that the quarterback from Green Bay thinks Jalen Johnson's a great player, and the coach apparently feels like, he gave an answer when asked about Fields, or excuse me, when asked about Johnson, basically defining how you get to a Pro Bowl, not necessarily saying he's a Pro Bowl player.
Well, I mean, let's be realistic. This defense does not really rank well doing anything this season. The football team's 3-10, so I think to ask the coach a question about, you know, geez, you got a Pro Bowl cover guy here. What do you expect in there from the coach? I think he kept it real. Like, listen, corners. Sometimes those guys have got to pile up some stats a little bit, and then certainly they've got to come from a better defense, right? And that's not knocking Jalen Johnson or saying he can't get there in the future, but I mean nobody's going to look at the Bears defense and say, geez, who's the all-star I should pick off this unit?
So you take more issue with the question than the answer. I think both were very interesting, and I would tend to agree.
Well,
people
can ask what they want, and it makes sense, I guess, after what Rodgers said. But I don't have a problem with the answer. I mean,
right?
Like they don't have any all-stars on defense, right? And it's a stretch to think that they do.
Brad, I think this next four games after the bye week and however the Bears want to make use of their time, I said earlier that if I were Matt Eberflus, I would have a conversation with Ryan Poles, or maybe it's the other way around. I want to see Alex Leatherwood. I want to see N'Keal Harry. I want to see Velus Jones. I want to see Chase Claypool targeted more. I want to see a lot of things that may not help me win games necessarily in 2022 now. I want to see if I can trust guys in 2023. And this four-game remainder of the schedule is a great opportunity to do that.
Well, you got to trust Leatherwood to have him out there, and they trusted them to have him out there for 10 snaps in the game. But, you got to be careful what you're doing on the offensive line. And I think if Leatherwood had been really turning heads in practice for a while, we would have seen him on the field sooner than now, right? I mean, that's what that tells me. Like, okay, the guy hasn't gotten on the field yet. Well, who's in front of him? Well, you got you know, Riley Reiff there, who's not going to be on the Bears next year. Who knows if he'll be in the league? What's the issue? And the common sense answer would be, well, the guy's not lighting the world on fire in practice, so you have to trust an offensive lineman to put him out there. And Keel Harry's going to be a free agent. I don't think he's on this team next year. I don't know that I need to see more of him down the stretch. Made a nice play on that second reaction throw by Justin Fields in the game, but he's not part of the solution for the Bears' wide receiver issue going forward here. I can agree with Claypool, and I think they've been kind of working toward that a little bit. You know, the passing volume was up a little bit on Sunday. It was, 25 pass attempts, so it was up a tick. Cole Kmet, we saw him more involved. You see what you can get out of him when he has more opportunities. But, yeah, you would think that in the final four games there'd be a few things that maybe they could set forward as sort of mini goals to let's see a little bit more of this guy if possible. So they have a little bit more to evaluate. Certainly they need more than 10 snaps from Leatherwood to get a feeling of how or where he should be slotted in 2023.
So who is on this team then? Who would you want to see more of based on their possibility of returning?
Well, it like at the receiver position?
Well, I mean, wherever. Khalil Herbert's coming back. Does that mean they want to play? You know what I mean? He said that on the coach's show yesterday. Does that mean David Montgomery won't be back, so you want to start seeing more of him? I just wonder about every position that there is on the team. And does Velus Jones, they used him a tiny bit in different ways. What is his future? Who are you playing at wide receiver if it's not N'Keal Harry?
Well, I'm just not saying I need to see like game plan concerted efforts to get N'Keal Harry more involved. You know, they've got are who they've got. They you know, you're going to be rolling two of them out on almost every snap and three on a bunch of snaps, depending on Trayvon Wesco, the tight end, left the game with an injury. They'd been using him a lot in the two tight end sets, but they've got a young roster and they've played these young guys. You know, like I don't know that there's a position on the roster that you look at and you say, geez, you kind of wish they'd look at some of the young guys here because it's been across the board, especially in the secondary because of the injuries this past week. Yeah, I think Khalil Herbert comes back. He plays some. David Montgomery, if he comes back next year, it would be my expectation that it's at the terms set forth by the team. I mean, it is a situation where there are going to be a lot of decent quality, proven running backs in free agency. Okay, it is going to be at a position where you usually have a buyer's market. It's going to be even more of a buyer's market, in my opinion. So does Montgomery fit into the team's plans moving forward? We'll have to see. He hasn't had a great year, guys. He's at an even 4 yards a carry. The volume hasn't been the same as usual, but they've given the ball to Herbert, and he did very well with it before the hip injury. And fortunately, not a serious issue, and he will be back down the stretch. I believe he has to miss one more game before they can activate him.
So, Brad, we're at the bye week, obviously, and you take a step back and you look at what the Bears are and what questions have been answered. The biggest one surrounding Justin Fields, I think, is what has defined this season. But as you look at the other positions, and we talk about it all the time, on either side of the ball, are the Bears, number one, worse than you thought at other positions besides quarterback? And secondly, are they so bad at those spots that it's hard to envision? We're pointing to 2023. Is it hard to envision them doing all the work necessary to put themselves in a position to have a winning season next year?
Well, you can have a winning season and not have a great football team. Like, there's a lot of teams right now that I think you look around the league that are hovering around 500, and you look at them and you say, geez, they're not real. I don't think they're real good, right? Like the Commanders, for instance, the Giants, for instance, right? I think both those teams have, what, 7 wins right now? I don't have the standings in front of me. You know, so is a winning season possible? A winning season would be possible, but for them to build a foundation like they've talked about, you're talking multiple draft classes, right? To really kind of get a base on both sides of the ball with some talent built up to do what? To try to, for the first time since 2005, 2006, experience sustained success, right? That has been, the Bears have had some moments where they've had some nice seasons since then. They really have. They have not done anything in back-to-back years consecutively. That has been terribly elusive. And so if they're going about building this the right thing, can they get all this done this offseason? No, and there's not a prayer of that happening. They've got one premium draft pick, right? They've got the first-round pick. The second-round pick will be great coming from Baltimore. It's going to be probably bottom third of the round. And they've got a ton of cap space, which I would caution people not to think that the general manager is going to go out there and try to use all of it or most of it, because when you're that active in free agency, you rarely that doesn't pay off. It's a proven recipe for disaster, really. When you go bonkers in free agency, the teams that win in March generally don't play in January. I think he'll make some moves. I think he'll make some strong moves, but the idea that he's going to fill 5, 6, 7 spots in free agency seems a little far-fetched to me.
So, you know, obviously it's a balancing act determining what positions are deep in the draft versus where to go in free agency. You know, if they're only making a limited number of moves, and I have no reason to doubt what you're saying, have you looked at that free agent class yet? Is there an area where it's obvious to you that they're going to get help, or is it still too early because you have to determine what's available in the draft and how they're going to fall?
Yeah, I think they'll be able to get a defensive lineman or two via free agency if they want to go that way. And my goodness, they should want to go that way. They could probably bring in an offensive lineman. They've got to look at what positions and how they feel about the guys they have. And that's why what David brought up earlier about Leatherwood makes sense. Like, he's had 10 snaps and there's 4 games to go. How many snaps is he going to have for you to put the film on and watch in the off season? You know, you got to think he needs 150 snaps at least to get some kind of feel for what he can do for you out there. But it's got to be about trust. Like, you have to trust him that you can have him out there. In terms of other positions, you know, we talked about it when they went and got Claypool via the trade. That position is going to be very thin in free agency. So I don't know that the wide receiver is going to be there for him, the true number one. We'll have to, you know, see how it, like I told you, white running back is going to be loaded, ton of experienced guys with success. But yeah, they can help themselves going at about any position, right? You know, you think about where they're at and what their needs are, just pick a spot and they could probably use an upgrade.
So Brad, yesterday in Green Bay, Brian Gutekunst talked to reporters and we just saw the Packers and they're in the unfamiliar position of being closer to being among the worst teams in the league than the best. And Gutekunst was asked about why winning the remaining games is important to him and wouldn't losing to lead to a higher draft pick be more worthwhile. His answer: I think it's a culture thing. I think winning is a culture thing. Do you generally agree with that in terms of the way you build rosters and teams, and certainly in the context of what's going on at Halas Hall.
I mean, the Bears are going to have a difficult time if they end up 3-14 or 4-13, or, you know, put together whatever combination you want to add up to 17 this season, and telling you they got a bang up culture at Halas Hall, right? And that they know how to win, right? Like, they've proven they don't know how to win in the fourth quarter this season, that's for sure. You've got to, the players have got to have a belief. They've got to have a belief in what they're doing. They've got to have a belief that the coaches know what they're doing to put them in the best position to win games, right? And, you know, go through the Bears locker room right now. You think they have confidence in the coaches and being able to help them pull out games? I don't know. I'm not saying they don't believe in the direction that they're headed in, but they've managed to fritter away some opportunities here. I get the whole draft pick thing. I really do. But, I mean, it's a heck of a way to go about looking at it. I mean, this is a team that had the third overall pick in the draft back in, 2017, before trading up for Mitch. The Bears are looking at being in that same neighborhood again this year. You know, eventually you got to try to cycle out of it. And, the one thing that people like to throw around is the idea that they could get this premium pick. Let's just say second overall. That's where they're at right now. And turn it into three first-round picks plus more to trade for a quarterback. I don't know that this quarterback draft class will produce that kind of interest in the first overall pick, second overall pick, third overall pick. So you might have to use the pick. You could still get a heck of a football player there, but I'll go back to what I said. I think when we talked about it a couple weeks ago, guys, the nucleus of your 2023 football team, your roster for next season, you're going to have what? 30 guys off the current team. When you take 30 guys off a whatever 3-14 football team, you got 30 guys coming off a really bad team. Is it a different team if the record is 5 wins or 6 wins? Probably not that different, but it's a tough position to be in. They're going to be battling up from the bottom of the division here, guys.
Brad, when we look at the quarterback position, we talked about the idea that when you look at Baltimore with Tyler Huntley behind Lamar Jackson, they don't change that much when they make a transition. Certainly that was the case here in Chicago a year ago when you saw them and you saw him. What about the Bears with Justin Fields now firmly their number one quarterback? And their backup, Trevor Siemian, undergoing surgery. Where are they? Are they going to be drafting a quarterback every year? Have you ever heard that from them? Are they going to be looking for someone else to be a backup next year? Does availability become an issue with quarterbacks, backups?
Well, that's a really interesting question. Huntley, somebody asked me about him a couple weeks ago. I believe he's going to be a restricted free agent, so he could stay in Baltimore. I think the Bears have got so many needs right now. I don't know that you're looking to draft a quarterback, right? Because they've just got so many. You want to fill in around the one you've got right now. Mm-hmm. Availability is going to be a question for Fields until he can prove that he can stay on the field a little bit more consistently. I like the idea of having the quarterbacks with similar skill sets, but that, to me, when you're talking about wants and needs, that falls under the want category, right? Like, they've got more pressing issues, I think, that need to be answered than that. But it's an interesting idea and one to kind of keep in the back of your mind moving forward.
So you're saying they're not going to claim Baker Mayfield today?
I don't think so. I don't think so. They'll be all right with Peterman. And
I think it's wise.
But you know what? I mean, that's an interesting idea. I'm not saying Bears, but Brad, generally speaking, if you're, say, the Houston Texans, and you've already benched your quarterback and the guy that took over isn't very good, would you look at a guy like that just to get a trial with him? Or do you think he falls all the way down to San Francisco? And I'm just curious where he winds up, or does anyone claim him? He's been terrible.
Yeah, I think he goes unclaimed.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, I he was so overdrafted in Cleveland. I'm not talking about going at the top of round one. Some people said this guy shouldn't even be a first-round pick. But that's what happens with the quarterbacks.
Right.
You know, it just takes the one team to think that this guy could be the savior, and they get a shot, and boy, when they don't work out, usually people wind up losing their jobs. It just, and you get in a vicious, vicious cycle.
Great stuff, Biggsy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. Do you think, Baker Mayfield wanted to get out of his contract because he wasn't going to play, and there are a couple of openings in the league right now. Obviously, the most the San Francisco one is the big one.
You only do that if your agent knows something. So yes. Maybe his agent knows something. I think San Francisco would be foolish to try to disrupt that chemistry they have, even with their backup quarterback, Mr. Irrelevant. I don't think you want to bring in Mr. Distraction in Baker Mayfield. No. Mr. Annoying? No shot.
How did that guy win the Heisman? 312.
He was a quarterback.
Yeah, where? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Cake and ice cream, okay? That's what the Cubs are going for, cake and ice cream. There is absolutely, positively no shot that they get shut out of this entire thing. It just isn't going to happen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Dustin has declared this shall not happen.
It's time to eat.
Yeah.
If you're Jed Hoyer, it's dessert time.
It's dessert.
Yes, yeah. Dessert time.
Cake and ice cream.
Get Correa. You throw in Bogarts. One place third. One
get
place
steak,
short.
Get move. A steak and a baked potato, my friend.
That is a steak and a baked potato.
I don't do that on soda.
Well, you know what? You would come off your diet to celebrate that one. If they got two of those guys.
I'll have two steaks.
Dustin, if they got one of those guys, it would be worth lifting a glass and toasting Jed Hoyer, because this would be exciting. Today is a day kind of you'd feel a little bit of that if these offers that they have out there are accepted by, it just takes one. And I think Correa is the one. Trey Turner, congratulations. $300 million, 11 years. It's the Phillies. That's where you belong. But the Cubs met with Correa. So did the Twins. Let's see if something happens today.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're hopeful that something's going to happen someday. And I don't mean that as negatively as it sounds, but I mean, I don't know if it's today, but it should be this week. This week. I mean, David, let me ask you this. Okay, so we know Carlos Correa didn't get paid in the wave last year, and then waited and finally accepted the contract he did with Minnesota, and had a huge impact there. I'm not saying he didn't, but is now that one is off the board, we've talked about this domino effect. So Trey Turner signs an 11-year, $300 million deal. And in the 11 years, I don't get caught up in that. That's just part of the bookkeeping on figuring out how to pay the guy. Because he's, how old is he, 30? I mean, he's going to play into his 40s? Probably not. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just, that's one guy gone. That would seemingly open up an opportunity for the next guy,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So how quickly does this happen now? Is it one after the other, or is this wait and see? I can't imagine it taking another month before.
I don't think it's going to take another month, Mully. I think the people who are out there covering this live for the winter meetings, Gordon Whitmire, for example, from our buddy from NBCSports.com, he suggested that this could happen this week because of the first domino to fall will induce other guys to want to take these offers while they exist, because the fear of them maybe directing those resources elsewhere. There's a lot of players out there to be had. There's only a couple shortstops that are in this kind of tier or category. So I do get the sense that the reporting suggests that it will be sooner rather than later. What I like about the possibilities as they exist right now is that nobody has ruled out, and I think John Morosi, again, guys who are responsible reporters who don't tend to throw things out, have suggested that the Cubs are looking good to get one of the three left.
Yeah.
And there's even been a report that they could get both of those guys.
Right. But both of those guys wouldn't be Correa. It would be Dansby Swanson and Xander Bogaerts.
Yes. Yeah, that would be almost what would it may cost – for the total price of Correa.
And then they would also trade for Sean Murphy, apparently.
Well, they have been linked to Sean Murphy. That is the latest report from John Morosi. Sean Murphy also linked to the Cardinals and other teams because he is a Gold Glove winning catcher. I think the Cubs linked more often in reports to Christian Vasquez, the catcher, who would give them a defensive presence, and the former Astro. What encouraged me about the pitching, when we talk about what else the Cubs need, they have been linked to Kode Senga all winter long, but also Chris Bassitt, the former A's,
yes,
Mets, and White Sox pitcher, yeah, who has a lot to like if you bring him into the fold. I want to get back to what you said about Trey Turner for a second. I do think you're right. The number of years is somewhat irrelevant at the age of the player. But I think what's interesting about this contract specifically is that the average annual value is what you know Scott Boras will be looking at. You know the agent community will be looking at and doing the math.
Yes.
And by that alone, $300 million is money that we can't relate to.
No.
But when you look at the average annual salary of $27 million around there, that's attainable when you look at and you plug it into today's marketplace, the Cubs' resources available, and the need that exists.
So one of the things I read is that with Correa, he is considered a backup plan for the Giants if they can't get Judge. So I would have to imagine that it is hot and heavy as things may be going with Minnesota. How do you not wait to see what happens with Judge and if you can get that money that they're talking about paying him given to you on a bigger deal?
That's a great question, and that is the essential question, not only as it pertains to the Giants, but also now the second part of that is Trey Turner just left who? The Dodgers. What do the Dodgers need? A shortstop. Who spends more than any team in baseball besides maybe the Yankees? The Dodgers. And they typically wait for the market to unfold, and you look at their moves, their big moves the last couple off seasons, and they have come later, after the winter meetings, after the first of the year. Mookie Betts, going back to Trevor Bauer. I mean, these are deals that happen in February. You don't want to wait that long. This is a different offseason. Every offseason kind of unfolds differently. But that's a point well taken. And that's why I understand the excitement that I feel this morning when you wake up as a Cub fan and you're looking at the possibilities, sure, and you're reading these reports. You could be really disappointed if in fact – Aaron Judge re-signs with the Yankees, the Giants pivot, put all of the money that they were going to spend on Judge into Correa, and you are on the outside looking in because Dansby Swanson ended up somewhere else, maybe with the Cardinals, God forbid, and all of a sudden Bogaerts decides to stay in Boston. That is a recipe for disaster if you're talking about a Cubs offseason that goes bad.
Yeah, I mean...
But it's all conceivable.
But of course it is. but I mean, you want to combat that, then you have to overspend.
Overspend.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk about being smart with your money, but as each guy falls, you got to get more desperate and whatever sensible offer you've made, or actually, let's be honest about it, a lot of these offers aren't sensible. Whatever extravagant idea you may have had will have to get even more expensive.
That's the right word. I love that word, extravagant. And you are reading directly. I don't know if you have it over there, but it sounds like the Texas Rangers offseason playbook. Because the last two winters, that's exactly what they have done.
Yeah.
Last year.
For naught.
Well, so far. But Corey Seager and Marcus Semien cost them $500 million.
Crazy.
Didn't get him much in return. This offseason, that didn't deter them from going after Jacob deGrom. He's 35 years old in June. They're giving him $37 million a year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy money for a guy who has made 36 starts in the last three seasons.
Yeah.
So, but your point is well taken in that you have to accept some realities about free agency. And the first one this offseason, if you're the Cubs, is you might have to overpay. You might have to be extravagant, but you might get what you want that way and not be left out in the cold.
Yeah, and again, I think that I think it would be unusual for them to be left out in the cold. I think that they have money. They have, you know, a lot. Think about it. If Bogaerts is being recruited by John Lester, and if Rossi's talked to him, and they supposedly, Bruce, I think, reported that they've made an offer to every free agent, or they've had meetings with every free agent.
Yep, shortstop. Bruce reported that, and I think that's encouraging.
So that would seemingly indicate that they're meeting with the right people and that they understand what they're looking for. You've got to know what the prices are, and it's up to you. Are you willing to spend it? Are you willing to go? Where is your ceiling? And that's all the question that remains.
We don't know that. I want to know, what do you think, what do you question more? The Ricketts' willingness to reach as deep as they need to spend whatever it takes to get the free agent that is targeted, or Jed Hoyer's ability to pull it off and negotiate the right deal and to make it sound appealing to Carlos Correa or whoever they want if Carlos Correa goes elsewhere? Do you question either of those guys, Hoyer or Ricketts' willingness to spend?
Yeah, don't you?
I think I question more Jed's ability to take that big swing and to connect than I do. I think the Ricketts have made clear that they've got to go into this offseason with a different mindset than they have the previous couple because of the urgency.
I agree. And I think that it just comes down to whether you can pull that off at the price you believe you is. I think that Jed's job is to determine the price and the limit that you're going to. Anybody can go out and spend an unreasonable amount of money for anything. You could buy the grandest home ever sold to man if you're willing to go beyond your means to get it.
Yes,
right?
That's true. Dave Dombrowski is an executive that is likely going to end up in Cooperstown one day. He's running the Phillies.
What has he always done?
He has not been afraid of the results of that approach that you just described.
He's gone for massive.
He takes big swings. And he connects often.
All right, we've got Coach Wannstedt. He's going to be here in studio. We're going to talk some football, some Bears, and we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
That's a tease for all you listeners out there. Stay tuned.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay? Next question. Next question.
Thank you very much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Mully at Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a joy to have Coach Wannstedt join us in studio. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Mike, Mully, and David. Absolutely, tough one last week. I mean, doing that post game, watching the game there, God, I thought we had it. You know,
we had it.
I really, really liked the Bears the way they came out of the tunnel. I mean, they were ready to play. God, they were playing hard. You know, they really were. And I think it just magnifies. In my mind, it just magnifies some of the personnel issues that are lacking right now.
What happened in the fourth quarter, Dave? They were leading 19-10 at the beginning. Obviously, 18 points in the fourth. The way you looked at it from a coaching perspective, what happened?
Well, you got the turnovers now. Don't lose sight of the turnovers, right? I mean, but the thing was, you got to make a play on defense. And we had no sacks, right, in the game, zero sacks, and very little pressure. Aaron Rodgers was just off. Now, you got to give our secondary credit. God, some of those guys, I had to look at the program to get their name, but they were locked on. I thought they did a very, very good job of covering the guys that were in there. A lot of them hadn't played much, new in the system. I don't know. You know, at the end, you lose the momentum, and Rodgers gets a hot hand, and we throw a pick, and that's your ball game. I mean, it's not like it was a three-score difference.
Dave, you know, obviously you talk about a player like Aaron Rodgers, any quarterback, not hit, not sacked. They didn't get anything going against him at all. He wasn't pressured.
Right.
And everyone's like, well, why don't you blitz more? Why don't you come after him? You got like a whole new secondary. I don't know how you were supposed to defend him other than try to get pressure on him with your front four, and they can't do that. And it's disappointing because they keep churning through practice squad guys trying to find anybody that can help, and they can't get any pass rush at all.
No, and I don't see how that's going to change, I mean, to be quite honest with you. You know, it is what it is. And we talked about that 2 months ago, you know, because remember Roquan Smith, before they traded him, they came out, and I think it might have been, I forget who they were playing, but the first two or three possessions, one time it was Roquan blitzing, the next time it was Brisker blitzing, the next time it was Eddie Jackson blitzing, and they were getting sacks and pressures and getting off the field. So, you know, Matt Eberflus and those defensive coaches up there, they know the situation. And now you got to look at the quarterback you're facing, too. You're facing one of the all-time greats. You know, by firing Jack Sanborn, I mean, is he going to be rattled and all of a sudden? You know, no. I mean, that's just taking one less defender out of coverage, and you're not going to get there in Rodgers. It's not like you're going to get there and sack him. So now you're susceptible to giving up a bigger play.
How did you break down the interception to Jaire Alexander, the first one that essentially helped the Packers clinch the victory?
Yeah, what you're talking about, the one where St. Brown didn't come back? Yeah, he got to come back to the ball. He looked like he was late coming out of his break a little bit, but that's okay as long as you are working back to the football and giving your quarterback a little bit of help. And that didn't happen. I mean, it's all, you know, how you look at it. You know, I mean, I would have been on the receiver and said, you got to help the quarterback and come back to the ball on that thing. I mean, that was – you can't get undercut like that.
What did you think of Fields' performance, given the fact that he had a separated shoulder, given the fact that it was uncertain whether he was going to be able to play earlier in the week, although he said he knew on Wednesday he was ready?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was actually pulled out the pen the other day and said, okay, let me just sit here and – Let me check the boxes. In my own mind now, everybody's got an opinion on Justin Fields. And it was almost like Aaron Rodgers came out and they're sitting at the poker table and Aaron Rodgers pushed all the chips up and says, you know, I'm in, right?
I'm all in.
I'm all in. Because when Aaron Rodgers came out early in the week and said, I got busted up ribs, I got a busted hand, I'm playing in this game. I think it was the next day that Justin Fields looked in that camera and he said, you know, I'm all in too. Let's go. And I think that's something, you know, now whether Aaron talked him into it, you know what I mean, or baited him into it, doesn't matter. The fact is that Justin Fields really, I think, showed Bear fans and showed all of us that this kid's a competitor and he is tough. And, you know, I talked to somebody that talked to him after the game, and his shoulder was bothering him. So the conversation at halftime, how you feeling? Oh, I'm doing okay. You know, and they come out the second half, and everybody's saying,
why did you stop running?
Why got so conservative? Yeah. This has been my conversation. How you feeling? Well, it's okay. It's sore a little bit. You know, moving the shoulder. I'm going to turn to Luke Getsy as the head coach, and I'm going to say, eliminate the quarterback runs. You know what I mean? The thing we can't have is this kid having major shoulder surgery.
Right.
Yes.
Because we're trying to run a quarterback dive or something. You
so
know,
that's why they handed off to Montgomery on third down?
I'm totally convinced of that. I mean, this is just my opinion.
Yeah, it could be. It's plausible.
And think about the passes. How many times Justin's under pressure and our offensive line did as good a job as they've done all year. Let's hats off to those guys. I mean, really, I'd love to hear Manley's take on that. And, you know, because I thought they did a great job against guys that are number one picks. You know, I mean, they got seven number one picks on that defense over there. But here's my point. In the second half, when we were going to our drop back game, when all of a sudden the quarterback runs were kind of put on the back shelf, the quarterback rollout passes, run pass option, which they are, put on the back shelf, and we're going drop back. Everybody's saying, why? What are we doing? What are we doing? Well, Justin Fields, think about that. He moved in the pocket. He had pressure. I promise you, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, he's scrambling.
Yes, I do.
He takes off running, but the good news, he stepped up and completed some passes down the field. That's what he really needs
to
do.
Well, I think that's a big part of, too. One of the plays that stood out, besides the big chunk plays, the 55-yard, whatever, he was forced to leave the pocket. He kept his eyes downfield. He found Cole Kmet for a 24-yarder. When I think that you could easily have envisioned him at one point in time, maybe with a healthier shoulder, he would have tucked it and ran it.
100%.
But part of that growth and development is that he kept his eyes down the field and found Cole Kmet, who adjusted to the scramble, and it was a 24-yard gain.
You don't have a guy run 56 yards for a touchdown and then just abandon that.
No.
There's got to be a reason that you didn't do that anymore. I felt the same way watching the game.
Absolutely. And, you know, and he didn't have to say, I heard it more. All you got to say is, you know, it's okay. Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. What's that mean?
No more of
right,
that.
Right, right.
Yeah,
hey, you know, one point I want to make here, looking at this, did you ever think, you know, the Packers, because I was talking about that secondary of ours, I mean, they had one reception over 20 yards, and it was 21 yards. I mean, we had more big plays throwing the football than the Packers did. Turnovers, guys. Turnovers in red zone. That's the key. We had a 56-yarder, we had a 49-yarder, and a 24-yarder. We had three plays over 20. They had one.
All right, I want to tell you what was going through my head when I watched a couple of those plays. 312-644-6767. We'll get your calls later. We got Coach Wanstead for another segment here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.